Okay, we will learn Schus for Shalem of Chaim Leish Velvin Ben Sheva and all the other Chole Yisrael Shtev Rufus and Yeshuas. We are up to Samech Hei Amar Aleph. Samech Hei Amar Aleph. Hopefully people did the first after, okay? Yeah. Sorry, we're going to have some interruptions. My Mother's Day present, I let my wife sleep. Shotchan Bachama, we already did. I don't know if anyone did that first line in their Shabbos learning, but hopefully that was really connected to the last laugh. So Uvemoch Sheba Azna. We've been talking about different things that sort of a woman could plug up different parts of her body, or a man also. It's interesting why the Mishnah is specifically in terms of a woman, especially when it comes to earwax, right? It says that a woman can go out with a cloth in her ear. So, Tani Remi Bar Yechezkel, V'husha Kasher Ba'azna. It's got to really be in there. You can't have it there loosely, because obviously then it'll fall out, and maybe you're going to come to carry it. Uvimokh Sheba Sandala, and a cloth that's in her shoe, her sandal. So Tani Remi Bar Yechezkel, V'husha Kasher Ba'azna. Uvimokh Sheba Sandala, Nidasa. And similarly, a moch, which maybe people are familiar from Halach Hilchos Nida, that she puts in to soak up any blood. So, Savar Rami Bar Chama Lameimar Behusha Kashla Ben Yerechoseha. So this is an interesting one. The moch that she puts to collect her blood has to be tied between her thighs. So what exactly that means, I don't know how that's possible. But Amar Rava Af Al Pi She'enu Kashra La Kevin Demes La Asi Lesuye. The says Rava, you don't really have to do that because, as we said before, the whole purpose of making sure it's tied is so it doesn't fall out. Because if it falls out, lest she come to pick it up and Urshas Arapim. Here, however, when it comes to this situation, you know, when it's soaking when it's filled with earwax, okay, maybe she come to pick it up. When it's doing something for the bottom of her foot, so maybe she'll come to pick it up. But when it's soaked in blood, so then she's not going to want to pick it up. So even if it's not necessarily very tied down in some way, here it says by tying it to her thighs, however that works. So even though it's not tied down, says Rava, you don't have to worry because she's not going to pick it up because it's bloody. So Ba'amin Rabbi Yirmi Rabbi Abba. So here's an interesting question though. Asasola Basyad Mahu. What? Let's say fine. So she has this kind of moch, and this moch has itself some kind of handle. You know, nowadays they oftentimes have like a little fabric hanging off. Which allows her to take it out. So if that's the case, so what's the situation? Because you said the whole point was that it might be disgusting to pick it up, but if it's got a handle, that maybe is not so disgusting. So maybe that would be still that would revert back to the concern that she'd be willing to pick it up. So Amar Lei, so Abba Rabbi Abba said back to Rabbi Yirmiya, Mutter, it's still okay. So Itmanami Amar Rabbi Nachmari Oshaya Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Asala Basyad Mutter. It's still okay because it's still considered to be something she wouldn't want to pick up. Rashi says, "Dulamin lo mais, ella afilu basyad mais." Says Rashi, it's still considered disgusting even if it has some kind of handle. Rabbi Yochanan nafik bulave midrash. Rabbi Yochanan went to the base midrash. V'chalukin alav chavera. Everyone disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan that this is not referring to the. The Nida situation is referring back to the ear, as Rashi says. Rabbi Yochanan was older, and he had a lot of earwax in his ear. That's what it says. Interesting, because we know the Gemara is from Brachos, and from Gemara also in Bava Metzia that talks about how beautiful Rabbi Yochanan was. And now he has a lot of earwax coming out of his ears in his old age. Rabbi Yanai nafik behula Carmelis v'chalukin alav kol doro. Rabbi Yanai similarly went out into the Carmelis. The Carmelis, as we remember from the beginning of Shabbos, is that sort of limbo zone. It's not Rishus Harabim. It's sort of in the middle. It's what we call Rishus Harabim d'Rabbanan, right? It's rabbinically prohibited public domain, and therefore when Rabbi Yanai goes out. So when he went out with these things in his ear to plug up for the earwax, whatever's leaking, I don't know if it's literally earwax or something else. So then everyone disagreed with him. Kol Doro, talk about a statement there. He's really holding to his guns. Everybody's out to get him. I remember in the at when I was in YU in yeshiva. So there was a guy who was trying to, he was very eish lahav about this specific chiddush that he had, and everyone was disagreeing with him. And one of his, and they were making a big tumult in the base medrash. And the guy says to him, "Everyone disagrees with you." So he says, "Everybody else is wrong." That's what he said. So do here. Rabbi Yani goes out into the Carmelis, and he's doing it, and everybody else disagrees with him. And he says, "You're all wrong. I'm right. You are all wrong." So it is interesting, first of all, that that when we say that it's a Carmelis, it's a big kasha, because the whole purpose of the Carmelis is that it's Shema, you're going to bring it to a Rosh Hasharab and Daraisa. Right? The Carmelis is, again, a limbo zone, a rabbinically installed public domain, which is only lest you come to do it in a real public domain. And this concept of putting something in your ear, lest it come out, and then you pick it up and walk with it, so that itself is rabbinic. So this is really the Ritva Asl Kasha. This is a Gezerah L'Gezerah. And as it oftentimes goes, with any time someone asks, isn't that a Gezerah L'Gezerah? So it says the Ritva, Kul Chad Gezerahi, it's one big Gezerah, that you can't do, you can't walk with something in a public domain. So how exactly do those fit in? A lot of jumping jacks are required to figure that out. But just to make you aware that is a discussion. How is this even a question if it's a gazelle gazelle? But either way, Vatani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Rabbi Rami Bar Yecheskel said, "Vishkash labazna." So wait a second. Didn't Rami Bar Yecheskel said you're only allowed to do that if it's really tied down there? So in the ear. So lokasha hadim hadikad lo mahadik. So that's not a question, because remember that when Rabbi Yani went out, it was obviously tied down well into his ear. So it's not a problem. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yani, I guess. Even if it wasn't tied, it was at least in there tightly. So the Gemara then says, "Va'pilpel v'galgal melach." So this is some different types of things that she would put in her mouth, possibly for the for bad breath or some kind of other convenience of some kind. And we had said, I think in the Mishnah already, it had to have been put there from before Shabbos. I think that was in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Pilpel l'reach hapeh." The pilpel, the pepper, is for the bad breath. "Gal gal melech l'dor shinei." Says Rashi, that's choli hashinayim. Choli hashinayim. We've always had DC to help us with choli hashinayim, but now we also have Tzvi to help us with choli hashinayim. If your teeth are hurting, you have some kind of gal gal, which is some kind of salt that helps you with a toothache. I don't know if that's common practice today. Just pour a bunch of salt on a wound, see if it helps. But that's what the Gemara was using. V'chol davar she'nosenes lo piyah. Hey buddy, do you need me? No? Okay. And everything that she puts into her mouth, what does that mean? V'chol davar she'nosenes lo piyah zan gvila inami d'artzina. I guess this is referring to anything that she would put into her mouth for some kind of purpose, so then it would be allowed, assuming that it was there from before Shabbos, I assume. This was a quote from the Mishnah. What else could she possibly put in? She could either put in ginger or she could put in cinnamon.
But it would seem that all of these things are for some purpose, either for bad breath or for a toothache.
Yeah.
But to chew gum from before Shabbos, probably not.
I would assume not, yeah. Well, I don't know. Never in the calculus of this heter does it say anything about the functional aspect of it. It just says that the fact that it's in her mouth is okay. And then it just asks.
It does say that it's for a toothache.
Yeah, it gives over the purpose of it, but it doesn't necessarily say that that's why it's allowed. Meaning, like, I don't know, halachically, do we prescribe bad breath as a reason to allow you to do something which we wouldn't otherwise
Rashi,
allow you to do?
In the Mishnah says that, in one of the Pshatim and Rashi says
That it's specifically because it's what?
That's because of its, Shabbos.
Right, so that's that. Right, that makes sense. But the question was, is it restricted to something because of some kind of purpose?
I think because
of
functionality.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
why
I understood it.
Rashi had said, "Yotzi."
And is there a concern if it disappears, meaning going from Rishus to Rishus? In other words,
no, this would be a Daraisa either way.
Disappears, the salt disappears. Does it matter that it has to be there from before Shabbos and stay there? Or
like, no, once it's gone, it's fine. Where's Rashi here? Who's on the nails of the bill? Aruch no senes ish bepia sherecha ra gilomach kmo girgar ulrefuas choli shinayim. Shinoz och bia mi ba'od yom.
From before Shabbos, that's quite a trick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Rashi does mention that it's for refuah, but he doesn't say that's why it's okay. I'm not convinced one way or the other.
Just by the cases itself, it would seem to imply that there's a function to it. Otherwise, maybe yeah. It wouldn't. Otherwise, it could have just, if he has a piece of straw in his mouth.
Well, that would probably be a Marasayan issue, but yeah. I don't know.
Maybe the next Gemara will kind of address it, whether what the function of it is or not. Because it seems it says Shein Toseves Shein Shel Zahav.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but then I think it's getting into embarrassment and showing stuff or whatever. I don't think this like lump of stuff that she puts. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's a tough read. Tosos has a sort of a discussion about this, but it's not exactly talking about what we're saying.
Anyway, what's the issue here with women? I mean, this would apply. There's nothing here unique to women.
It's the beginning of the Mishnah.
Right, the beginning of the Mishnah talks about women's stuff, so it just continues.
I understand that the beginning of the Mishnah talks about women's stuff, and this seems like a non sequitur.
Well, that's why it says in their own situations, these rabbis would do it for the earwax. So it's not specific to women. Otherwise, the answer would have just simply been they could do it. They could possibly do it because they're men.
So does that apply here with these dental remedies too?
Yeah. It's simple. That's why I took it.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. It could be because of some kind of function. It's not really. It's really not clear to me because the whole thing. Tosa has a whole kasha about if it's a refuah question. So then why can't you put it back in? And therefore, it would seem not to be about refuah. But either way, I can't really go too deep into it now. But it's a good question about what the purpose of the what the significance of the purpose is. Is there a significance in terms of the heter? Either way, we got to move on because we're doing Daf Yomi, unfortunately. So, Mirta Hashem, I'll look into it and maybe get it into the chat. Shein Toteves Shel Zav. So, a gold tooth. Rebbe Mat Racham Ostrin. So, Rebbe says, okay. And the Chacham say, you're not allowed to go in out with a gold tooth. This is presumably, I don't remember if the Gemara talks about it. I think it's because you might take it out and show it to people.
The gold
tooth is sort of special. Rashi says mevazula v'shaklala biyada. It's going to fall. You're going to carry.
In front of her, so she'll take it out.
Right, mevazula. I think the Gemara is going to talk about it. Use a different word though. Either way. So people are going to make fun of her because it's noticeable. People are going to say, hey, look at that weird tooth she's got in there. So Amar Vizir Lo Shano Ela Shel Zav Aval B'Shal Kesef Jivra Kol Mutter. Everyone agrees that Kesef is okay because no one really makes fun of silver teeth. They only make fun of gold teeth. Okay?
It also seems that with the more precious thing, they're going to show it off. They're going to take it out and show it off, where something less precious.
Yeah, so Rashi brings down both Mandarma. First, he says that the gold is because people are going to make fun of her. And then the next one, Rashi says that it's because that really linear atama de shelza mishum de chashiva v'asila achuya lakach aser. So Rashi says basically like the one understanding is whether people are going to notice and make fun of her and there she's going to take it out. I guess it's less reason to make fun of a person if they're missing a tooth than if they have a gold tooth. Because then she takes it out, she has no tooth there. So I don't know, it's kind of an interesting...
It might also be less noticeable.
Right, I mean that's part of it, yeah. But
silver may be less noticeable. No tooth is not noticeable. Gold,
right. So that's
there's another concept mentioned here that with the gold tooth, if it falls out, she's not going to leave it because it's expensive. So she'll carry it.
I don't think anyone's leaving their bridge work around, even if it's made of plastic.
Well, that's, you know, if
they have to charge much less back then.
There's a lot of insurance there.
Right.
It's plastic, they're not showing it off. You know,
they have a good delta.
So, David, who says that? Who says that idea? Does it say? I don't have it here. Rashi doesn't know.
The Talmud Yerushalmi.
Oh, the Yerushalmi brings that. Okay, interesting.
Right.
Yeah. No. We had that earlier. The question here sounded the first amount that was a little different. That it was because people are going to make fun of her, which we hadn't seen yet. We really hadn't seen that concept yet. But here Rashi says, no, it's the same as before.
Sorry, we got a party going out over there. Okay.
So the Gemara says, and silver is different either because people aren't going to notice as much. It sort of blends in with your teeth, or because it's not as valuable. And therefore, you're not going to show it off, or it's not as valuable as according to David, because and you're not going to come to pick it up as much as you might come to pick up the gold one. Interesting. Okay, just another brisa that supports that same concept, the same machlokas, really. I think, which means like gnus, like they're gonna make fun of her. So this is an interesting concept. Rashi doesn't say anything about it, but it sounds as if that they're postening like the second mandama of Rashi, that the whole point is that she's gonna show it off.
No one's pulling out their retainer.
And therefore no one's gonna take it out. You could say it in both ways, that if someone's going to look at it and say that it's that they're going to make fun of her for it, so they're still not going to take it out. Or you could say that the question is whether she's going to take it out and show it to somebody. Both of those work with Rashi. In terms of the Yerushalmi, they must not have this discussion in this way, otherwise this statement wouldn't make sense. At least according to those reasons. Rabbi Hada Amran. So according to Rabbi, that makes sense. Rabbi Eliezer Detanya. Oh, so we're trying to find sources for all these people who said such a thing. Rabbi Eliezer Detanya, meaning Abaye, said this about each one of them. So we know already from Rabbi why he said that, because he was above. Rabbi Eliezer Detanya, Rabbi Eliezer Potter Bekovel, Sebet Slochus Shal Pili Aton. We have seen this already before. I don't know if we necessarily use this specific phrase, but Rabbi Eliezer said you're allowed to go out with Koveles, which we said was this bundle of fragrance, and with Tzlochus Shel Pili Aton, which was the oil. We saw this a couple days ago, which you remember it makes her smell better, and therefore people are, she's not going to take it off and then put it back on. We had said that this is one of those instances where Rabbi Eliezer Poter means mutter. It's only poter relevant relative to the, I think it was the Chachamim who said Aser Chayav Chatas. And he's saying pater, but it really means mutter. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar detanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Brisa says, klal am Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Kol shu lumatu min ha-svacha yotzaba, lumalu min ha-svacha in yotzaba. We had this a couple weeks ago, that anything that's below the hairnet is okay. Anything that's above the hairnet is not okay, meaning you're not allowed to go out with it. Apparently that has to do with uncovering her hair. Rashi says, Yotzeba, so I just lost it. Amount of the svacha kigun kipa shel tzemer yotzeba delochai shin and dilma shelfa mechavi demigla sara meganyala ba shasvacha noi hula sar. Okay, that the net sort of protects the hair and covers up any unappealing nature of her hair. I guess that's
right. And interesting, Sfarya says since there's concern that she will remove it and carry it. So Sfarya seems to say that the concern is with the carrying, where what you were saying is the concern is that she'll move her shetel and show off hair. Correct?
No, I wasn't really saying that. The whole point, the same as before with the tooth, was whether people are going to make fun of her if she took it off. Or, alternatively, based on the first shot of Rashi, if it's an, if they're going to make fun of her, would she take it off to get rid of the making fun of? Yeah, that's what it meant. So here too, also, she doesn't want to uncover her hair underneath because that would be unappealing for one reason or another, and therefore she wouldn't want to take it off.
I misunderstood.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a Shaitel thing. We did the Shaitels yesterday. If you listen to the recording, the Shaitels was yesterday's daf. Okay, Mishnah says. Mishnah says Yotza b'sela she'atzinis. She can go out with a coin which is tied onto a wound on her foot. Okay. Habanos kitanos yotzos b'chutin, and the young girls are allowed to go out with different types of strings. Va'afilu b'kesamen shebaznan, and even if they're going to put it in the holes of their ears that they maybe you would use typically for earrings. Kesamen usually means something like a stick. We had this by Shabbos. We had this earlier by Hanukkah. If you light the candles with a kesam,
it's when they got pierced, right? So it's when they got pierced to hold the hole open.
Yeah, I guess so they would keep it something. Okay. Arvios yotzos reulos umadios prufos v'chol adam el shedibru chacham v'hove. So women who live in Arab countries are allowed to go out with different types of scarves on their faces. Rashi says. Right? People have probably seen this. The people who, you know, they cover their whole faces except for their eyes. Okay? Not a bucky in Yeshayahu, so we'll just trust Rashi on that one. Madayos, Nashim Yisrael Shebemadai. They're in Madai. I don't know, where is that nowadays? Where's Madai? David?
It's a Persia and Iran.
Is it? I thought those were two separate places, Madai and Persia.
Iran, they're next to each other.
Okay, so it's Iran. Okay, so women in Iran, which I guess is not an Arab country. I don't know. Rulos umadios prufos. What's prufos? So Rashi says, V'shem atos v'talos v'tola haratzua b'sfasa ha'achas k'neged savara u'b'sfasa ha'shenis k'rocherchas even o egos v'kashes haratzua b'krach. Okay, so it's some kind of weighting system that they put around on connected to the scarf, which keeps it in place or some kind. I'm assuming it's sort of like a head scarf that they tie around and it sort of comes down on both sides. V'chol adam, and then really applies to every person. It's just that Chazal was talking in the Hove about people who wear these types of things. It's similar to the shepherds that we had seen a couple days ago, but different. Okay, parefes al ha'evin v'al egos v'al matbea v'vash lo tisfrof al chachil b'shabes. So they also said a woman's allowed to connect some kind of stone in her clothing. And then it says,
it seems like you could long as there's a function underlying it, you can adorn it with other things. Because even the first one said, you have to have a wound on the foot, and you're tying it on there, so you're tying the coin, so generally you can't do it, but because there's already a purpose, an alternate purpose.
So Porefes Rashi says, you're sort of connecting the clothing together somehow. It's some kind of fastening together. Maybe it's like a button you're creating, you're creating a connection between the two sides of the clothing. As long as you don't do that specific thing on Shabbos. So you're allowed to use a stone or a nut or a coin to do such a thing. Okay, so my tzinis. The Gemara says, what is tzinis that we said before? It's bas ara. It's something that's a wound on the bottom of her foot. Imagine a cell. What does it matter if it's a cell, if it's a coin? If it means that anything that's hard works, so why don't you use something like cheres, like earthenware vessel? Maybe it's because you need something flat. Is that what it means?
Something that won't rot, the rusting.
Oh, it needs to.
I think it sweats.
Rashi says it's lichluchis, which means that it's some kind of moisture that comes about. So if that was the case, labilatasa. Here it said in the Sefari, it says rust. I don't know what that means. Hayosim because of Allah's ruvel. V'yafu l'makas shuchta kmo some kind of moisture here in the fire. It says rust. I don't know where they got that from, but okay. So if that was the case, liabi batasa, so you should make some kind of silver. What does it mean? A coin? Maybe you're going to tell me it's because of the tzura is like a picture. So the Gemara says, so I don't know what the picture, maybe there's some kind of like ridge and that helps also. So liabila pulsa, if that was the case, so make some kind of coin. Liabid pulsa, Rashi says, egel shel eitz v'yatzur alav, if it's really the image, so make something out of wood. Why do you have to make it out of a coin? Amar bai shma mina kula malula, it needs all of these. It needs to first be something hard, and then it has to be something which creates some kind of moisture. And thirdly, it has to have this engraving on it, and that's why you just use a coin, because it has all three of those benefits. I'm not exactly sure how that works medically, but either way. Habanos Yosef Zuchutin, the Gemara says the girls can go out with strings. Avod Yishmol Oshavik Luhu Liv Nasei Denafkan Bechutin. So this Gemara threw me for a loop a little bit, but we'll take it step by step. The Gemara says he didn't let his daughters go out with these strings, even though the Mishnah says they're allowed to. We'll see that in a second. And they weren't allowed to lie down next to each other. And he would make for them mikvahs for the Nisan season. And umapatzele, and he would make them mats in Tishrei. So this Gemara is actually very important in terms of hilchos mikvos, right? As you know, there's no meseches mikvah, but it comes up in a bunch of different Gemaras. So this is one of the Gemaras that's important in figuring things out. Obviously, it's not straightforward. So there's a lot of commentary on it, but we'll just take it step by step. So the Gemara says, lo shavik luhi yotos b'chutin. V'hanantanan habanos yotos b'chutin. Why didn't he let them go out with strings? The Mishnah clearly says they're allowed to go out with strings. So Benasei Davod Yishmol Ditzivonin Hada. His daughters had very colorful strings, and therefore they would take them out and show them to everyone because of how colorful they were. I don't exactly know what this means. I don't think we have earring things like this anymore. But the Mishnah must be only talking about white ones, like non ornate ones that people would not want to show off. So they wouldn't be allowed to lay down next to each other, according to Rav Yehuda Shmuel. So lema masai leila Rav Huna, maybe that's in accordance to Rav Huna. Damar Rav Huna nashim amasololos zobazu, a woman who goes who is rubbing up against another woman, psulos lekahuna, they're not allowed to get married to a kohen. We saw this two parshas ago. Yeah, in Kedoshim, they're not allowed to marry a Kohen because there's a chashash, says Rashi, the Kohen Gadol lo have a besula shlema. This machlokas, why exactly Rashi says Kohen Gadol, because Tosfos has a whole problem with it. But either way, lo have a besula, maybe she no longer has her besulim, that she's no longer a virgin after this type of lying down with our women. It's like znus, all right. And we know the pasuk says isha zonav chalal lo yikachu, that a woman's not allowed to marry a kohen if she has znus, and this is considered znus, the women laying down with each other. So the Gemara says, no, that's not why. That's not why Avodah Shmuel didn't allow it. Lo sabra ki yechad lo lil fan guf anuchra. The problem is that they're going to rub up against each other, and they're going to be aroused. Then they're going to want to have relations with somebody else, who would actually be a problem for them to sleep with. Okay, v'aved luhu mikvah biyom nisan. He would make them a mikvah in Nisan. Misayalei l'rav. This is in accordance to shitas Rav, because Rav says mitra b'marav asada rabba paras. So this is going to get into a little bit of the. A little bit into the nuances of mikvah, so maybe we'll see how much we can do without doing all of Hilchos Mikvahs here. But the question is, the rain in the west sort of adds to the flowing water in the river of the Euphrates. So when it comes to the river, it has to be, if I'm not mistaken, the river has to mostly be spring water. It can't be from the rain. So Let me see here. The increased water flow of the Euphrates in the spring is the result of the rainfall in the winter. So, Avodah Shmuel said that going into that river, because of the fact there's so much rain there, wouldn't be good for a mikvah. And therefore, Sava Shalo Yirbu HaNotvim Ala Zochlin. Zochlin is the water that comes in hold on, let me just read the Safaria here, has it in English. The rainwater that fell would not exceed the natural flowing spring water. In the halachos of ritual baths, there are two manners of purification. The first is the immersion in a place where the water is gathered, meaning like a lake, collected rainwater that does not flow and remains in place. The second is immersion in flowing waters in a natural place, a spring or a river. However, rainwater purifies only when it is collected. It does not purify when it is flowing. Zochlin means that it's flowing. The question is, if the water is coming down and it just sits in place, that wouldn't be good enough to count it as a flowing river. It would have to actually be moving the whole time for that to be good enough.
It seems alternatively, if it would be a place where it would always gather, like a mikvah, it wouldn't be a problem. But because there's flowing water, the thing that allows flowing water is the continuous flow, not the new items coming in. If the new water coming into it exceeds the flow, then that would negate it. But each one individually.
Yes, okay. It depends on the body of water. Some bodies of water allow for rain, some bodies of water require constant flow. So the Gemara says, "Upliga de Shmuel," and this disagrees with Shmuel. "Damar Shmuel Nahara Mikive Mibarach." The river has a bracha from Mikipe. Kipe, I think, is referring to underneath. He says that every time there's water that's coming down from the rain, there's also water that's coming up from the spring, and therefore it's always going to be the case that the spring water is more than the rainwater, and therefore it's not a problem according to Shmuel, which sounds like more just they're disagreeing with the nature of the water, not as much with the halachos. It sounds like he disagrees with another thing that he said, which is the only time that it works, and I guess that would be coming to the exclusion of this other time, the only time that it works is when Yom Tishrei, when there's not a lot of rain. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Either way, okay, there's a lot to talk about that Gemara, and it gets a lot of details. There's also a very important nuance that I don't think the Gemara is going to talk about here, which is that he gave his daughters mats. And some of the posts can point out, how did he give them mats if they're supposed to be going to a mikvah, if they're standing on the mat, so that's a chatitza, and what exactly is the case. Either way, that's for post-game about mikvahs. I don't know if we'll ever talk about it, but I'll just say for another time. Okay. The Gemara says, Porefis ala evan, or you can sort of bundle it, or you can bind things together with a stone, or the nut, or the coin, v'hamar reisha porefis. But the beginning of the Mishnah said that a woman is allowed to do it, allowed to bind things together. Amar bai seifa asal matbeah. At the end, we're talking about a coin, which is really the big halacha, meaning the beginning is, you wouldn't necessarily have to repeat it, but we're really the chiddush of the end is really for the coin, that you're allowed to use the coin to wrap things, as long as you prepared the coin from before Shabbos for this purpose and not for money, obviously. None of these are referring to things that you're doing on Shabbos, as the Mishnah had said. You have to have already created this connection from before Shabbos. The question is just whether you can go out with it. So the Mishnah says you can. So what is halacha with a woman who tries to create some kind of loophole? I guess pun intended there. She tries to create some loophole and tries to carry out a nut through using it on her child from before Shabbos. Meaning, I think what it's saying is that she's bringing out the nut for the sake of her kid to eat the nut later on Shabbos. What's the matter? You want to come to me? Okay. Ugh. Okay, so what are you allowed to do? Tibay Laman Damra Marimin? Tibay Laman Damra in Marimin. This is a question according to people who say you're allowed to utilize loopholes, and according to those who say you're not allowed to utilize loopholes. So Ha'arama in Halacha is a very interesting concept, and oftentimes we only allow it for Durabanan concepts, for Durabanan situations. And therefore, this might be part of that question. Here we're obviously talking about a Durabanan, because if it's actually fastened to a garment, you're always allowed to take out Midaraisa, but the question is whether you're going to take it off and things like that. So the Gemara says, so this is always going to be a question no matter who you hold like. Tibai Lamanta Amramariya Medleika. Maybe you're going to say it's a question according to those who say you're allowed to sort of do some trickery when it comes to a burning house, meaning that we allow a person to put on a lot of clothes. Right? Technically, you should get out of the house as fast as you can. But if you're going to try to save some things, so we'll allow you to put on all your clothes, as much clothing as you can, for the sake of saving the clothing, but really you're wearing the clothing, right? So that's sort of like a loophole. Do we allow you to do that? So the Gemara says, even according to that Manda Amar, maybe that would only be the case by a burning house. The only reason that we all will allow you to do this trickery is because we don't want you to put out the fire, and if we don't allow you to take out more clothing than you necessarily usually wear, so then you're going to come to put out the fire. Otherwise, then you're going to come to put out the fire instead. So the Gemara says you're allowed to do this trickery to make sure you don't put out the fire, which is an istaraisa. If we say you're not allowed to take out this nut by putting the clothing around it, so then you're not going to take out the nut at all. She's never going to do it. And therefore, even according to the one who says you're allowed to do the trickery by the fire, maybe they wouldn't allow you to do it in this situation. So when it says, "Oh, Dilma, Filaman to Amar in Marim would like," I mean, according to the opinion that says you're not allowed to do the trickery or the loophole for the burning building, Hasim Derechotza Bekach. That's because that's a normal way to go out outside into the Shasarabim, but.
People potentially would layer clothes on any Shabbos, even without the fire. They could actually move clothing from place to place as long as they're wearing it. Doing that for the sake of the fire is not different than doing it otherwise.
Okay, so I mean, it's not like a trick. It's not considered a trick, even. It's just normal.
Or it's even a trick that works without a fire.
Okay. I mean, the phrase is in Marim, so I would say more the way I said it, but yeah.
A hasam derechot tzabekach. So it's not really a trick.
Right. Aval hacha ein derechot tzabekach. This is not a normal thing to do, to use a nut for the sake of your kid by putting it into your clothing. So ein mashaper dami. So maybe that opinion would still allow it in this case to do the trick. They would allow it because this is a little bit different and you wouldn't be allowed to do it otherwise. So maybe they would allow you to do it this way. So Teiku, we don't know. We'll have to wait for Eliyahu Navi to figure that one out. All right, we'll start with the Mishnah Mirtz Hashem tomorrow morning.